I'm Ron Messer.
The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Yeah. Woo, welcome back. Get that guy in the back a glass of water, will you? Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Drive Time. I'm Dave Glover. This is Canada's only holistic political chat. It's now time for our weekly Wednesday installment of consider-this.ca. Joining me in the studio is Rob Washburn. We have two guests in the studio this afternoon as well. Alex Burrows is joining us, as well as Tim Flindle. And yes, he is related to Monty, but we're not going to talk about Monty today. Before we get to that, Rob, you had a quick message?
Yeah, I just want to say that it's National Best Friend Day. And so, Dave, happy Best Friend Day. And I want to thank you for being one of my best friends and having me on this show every week. And we have a great time. And thanks for sharing this space and this great experience.
Well, it's always been my pleasure. We're coming up on 2 years, actually, aren't we?
We're very soon, man.
My goodness. I'll have to get you just another gift I'm going to have to buy. Here's Cher, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Our conversation today with the parents and friends, lesbian and gay children, youth. That's our guest today. We're going to be talking about that today. And after all, it is Pride Month. And, oh, big headline news today, by the way. The Canadian Embassy is flying the Pride flag on their flagstaff in front as well as in the rotunda. So congratulations to the Canadian government. And I think that's a big in-your-face to those American legislators down there who just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to grasp the reality that some things we don't have a choice in life. And we'll be back after Cher. Cher, the track Believe from 1998. And welcome to the Drive Time. Welcome to Consider This Live. And thanks to our guests, Tim Flindle and Ashley Bowman, who are joining us. Now, you guys are with, is it still PFLAG?
Yep.
Okay. Can you let the listeners know what that stands for?
So it's
It used to stand for Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And what it stands for...
It's changed recently.
It's changed. The acronym is much longer and more inclusionary.
All right, so in the back here, we got PFLAG Canada. And they're still looking here. Pride, of course, now part of the reason you guys are here today, and I gotta put this out there, not just because we had time to fill, let's face it. The reality is it's Pride Month.
Yes.
It's Pride Month. And, you know, this is one of the communities... One of the great things I love about this community here in West Northumberland is that, and maybe it's just in my time here, because I've been here about 15 years now, and it seems to me that this community has always been sort of, at least over the last 15 years, my experience, pretty damn inclusive when it comes to people who are different.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Is that a reasonable way of putting it?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, you grew up here, right, Tim?
Yes,
and you went to the East.
Yep.
Did you go to the East as well, Ashley?
Yes, I did.
So both of you, so graduates from the East. Let's talk, can Yo we talk East. A little bit, if we can, the former East, that's right, it's not the East anymore. Can we talk about what it was like for you, Tim, growing up gay here in Northumberland? Did you always know?
I always knew from a young age. I mean, there's always that voice in the back of your head when you're looking at different people and you're out and about in the community. I mean, there was a lot of times where my mom was really supportive of it. She used to come to me and ask if I wanted to read books, and she used to tell me that she would get me books if I needed them. But I was never really comfortable enough actually admitting it to my family.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely growing up here... It was pretty much keeping it hush-hush for a long time. I grew up in a Mormon background, so that right there.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I just kind of got the nerve to start talking to friends about it, and as time went on, I became more comfortable with the entire process and accepting me for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a faithful walk with my mom one day and took her for a walk and slowly told her that
It sounds to me like she wasn't surprised, though.
No, she definitely wasn't. She, even to this day, still says that she always knew when I was younger that there was always something a little different about me. Mm-hmm. Even with my brothers and sisters, they always knew that there was something different about me compared to them, but they never really forced it on me. They just kind of let me take my own time and flourishing, so to speak.
So you've been allowed to basically be who you are.
Definitely.
For your whole life. Any conflicts with your family at all over the decision to come out?
Definitely, for sure. When I first came out, it wasn't very accepted with my family. My mom, I kind of had it easy where my mom kind of took the reins and came out to my family for me after I'd come out to her. And there was a short time where a couple of my family members stopped talking to me completely. But as time's gone on, you just have to remember that everything is a process and everything is a knowledge base. And giving them the time to understand it more or less is definitely what it took for them to come forward and start supporting me in more ways than
right.
How old were you, Tim, when this all took place?
I would have been, I believe, it's hard to tell because I first came out to my mom and I came out as bisexual first, just kind of like feeling the entire situation.
Water,
yeah. And then after that, I was dating a girl at the time and I kind of reverted and stopped talking about it. So I think when I was officially 100% comfortable with being who I was, it was around the age of 16 was when I got my first boyfriend. But before that, I believe I came out around the age of 13 the first time.
Can we talk a little bit about some of the societal pressures? I mean, there's still people running around, look down the U.S. down there, that believe that being gay or lesbian or bi or transgender is a choice that people make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like trying on a pair of pants, when in reality, it's not a choice. I've asked straight people out there who've said to me, oh, it's a choice. I ask them the same question, well, did you choose to be straight? Was that a decision that you made, or did that just happen?
Definitely.
How has that been for you?
It's definitely been a process. There was a lot of talk about me going to Joy Camp, which is a Bible camp for correction, pretty much.
Right.
I definitely tried for a very long time. As I stated earlier, I did revert back into the closet for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with a girl for 4 years, and she knew at the time that she was actually the first person that I ever spoke to about the feelings. And she knew at the time that there was something going on with me, and I was very open with her constantly. Getting down to the basics with the choice factor, we were so open with each other. And when it came down to it, I really wanted it to be a choice. But as our relationship started to grow, we realized that we were loving each other in different ways that just weren't the same that a relationship builds on. And it was kind of at that moment when I realized that it's definitely not a choice, regardless of how much you try. There's always that voice in the back of your head that's like, nope, this is how it is, and this is how your brain's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, can we talk a little bit about, because you mentioned going back into the closet as well. Can we talk about your mind at that point? How were you feeling? Did you feel like you were guilty of something? Did you have to go back into the closet because of societal norms? What was it that told you that it's probably better to be in the closet?
It was just more of my gut feeling, the way that people reacted to it. For instance, my main sister, like I have four half-brothers and sisters that don't live with us. And at the time of coming out, I had my main sister. And she didn't accept it very well. She knew, but she very much so didn't understand it, as well as my dad. And just with those feelings and having my girlfriend at the time, I just thought that it was best that I try to make things right with my family, so to speak, and go with the society norm and try my hardest with a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know.
Well, you can laugh about it now. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, Ashley, I would be interested in hearing Tim's story. Is this a typical kind of story that you hear at meetings of PFLAG, or how is it different, or how is it the same?
I feel that there are a lot of individuals, when they do come out to their families, they do get that kind of reaction. Not all the time. I feel that there's a lot more openness in regards to sexuality, but it's still something that I feel is rampant among even youth, like even kids that are in high school right now, their parents might not be accepting. And it might not be the fact that they're gay. It's probably more so the fact that their parents realize how the hardships of being gay or lesbian, bisexual, trans, how it's in society. Like, you know, there's backlash, they're going to be bullied.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. And it could be, I think for most of the time, the parents are concerned about that, mostly probably for their children's safety, more so than anything.
How then does your organization help these people go through this kind of an experience?
We hold monthly meetings, and it's confidential, so people can talk to whatever's bothering them, and it doesn't leave the room. So we do get parents that are concerned about their children. We get youth or even adults that are concerned about talking to their parents or especially grandparents,
mm-hmm.
not being accepted by their families. Because, you know, you love and respect your family. And the last thing anyone really wants is their family to hate them or mm-hmm. dislike them for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide support in that as well. Because as Tim pointed out, most of the time it's not forever. It's, I think, usually an initial thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you're open to education and reading about it yourself, you can see that it's not that bad.
It's good to hear that it's a process for family. But what about the regular other social interactions that people have? Going to school, going to a job, going just out into society in general. I'd like to start with Ashley, and then maybe Tim can jump in as well. What is it like then on an ongoing basis? And what are some of the challenges and successes you face going out into the world?
It's hard for anyone, especially if you do want to identify that in your workplace. But I also feel that many people feel they don't need to talk about their sexuality. It's not important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure for some jobs it is, but it's becoming more so now that I feel that people, like years ago, you would never even think about having a gay teacher. Or if you were a gay teacher.
An openly gay teacher.
Yes, exactly. There was probably lots of gay teachers,
I had several.
Yeah, but then they weren't allowed to be gay. Mm-hmm. And if it was found out that they were gay, they would lose their jobs
right.
immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like that anymore. That's not a factor. You know, there's discrimination laws that protect people and their sexualities, which is really important.
Well, it's actually cool that you say that because, of course, a prominent minister in the new government was talking about how he was born in 1967. And in his whole life, he has seen it gone from where it was completely illegal mm-hmm. to still illegal, but not something we're going to arrest people for, to being legal, to now being protected in the Charter of Rights mm-hmm. and Freedoms. And this is something that the current government is trying to push through.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm the same age, basically. And in my lifetime, as I say, you know, I was talking to you before we went on air. My son's 25. As far as here's peer group is concerned, sexuality is just sexuality. It's not something that really should be a conversation. And, you know, when you were mentioning earlier about people in their employment, I mean, we don't talk about heterosexual sexuality when we're in the employment.
Yeah. Yeah.
It only seems as though the abnormal, if you will, of homosexuality or being lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, all of that is something that people feel as though they have a right to talk about.
Yep.
And yet we don't bring up conversations, you know, about the sexuality between opposite sexes.
But at the same time, and I respect the fact that the workplace is a protected environment, but just walking in the street can lead to harassment. You know,
yep.
there's these kinds of pressures on. And I'm wondering, have either of you faced these kinds of encounters, and what was it like?
Going through high school, there was always the smoker's corner, per se, and... As a queer youth growing up in Coburg, that was always the corner that I tried my most to stay away from. Mm-hmm. There was always walking through them. Even if you minded your own business, you always got the F slur thrown at you or trash or something thrown your way. So it was definitely something that I grew a thick skin to, I think. Mm-hmm. There comes a point with me, per se, that I realized that I was either going to roll over and take it, or I was going to grow thick skin and realize that these people were only temporary in my life and that there was definitely more adventure out there that I just needed to focus on and mm-hmm. get through those mm-hmm. rough couple of months with some lovely people.
Ashley, when you are with the group and you're talking about these kinds of issues, what sort of stories are you guys hearing there that you might be able to share with us of the kinds of encounters that people go through in our town?
I feel that I don't really recall much about, like, street harassment too much because can you really tell if someone's gay if they're walking down the street?
Yeah, true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or queer, I should say. It's more so I feel with family and family not being accepting. I feel that's the big mm-hmm. issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there guilt associated with it from a parental aspect? Is that something that a lot of parents are feeling, that maybe they did something wrong? Oh my goodness, I'm a bad parent because my child is gay. Has that been something that's come up in conversation?
Definitely, yeah. It's something that we deal with often. Even with my own parents, I think they both went through a time where they kind of felt like they could have done something different or mm-hmm. they could have done this or that. It's definitely something that we've helped a couple of people just more understanding that this process isn't anything that you yourself could have helped. It was something that was flourishing long before any of the aspects of it came to light, and mm-hmm. Just working with the parents to help them understand that as guilty as they're feeling, that their child's also going through a lot as well, because they don't want their parents to feel that guilt.
No, absolutely. Well, we're going to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation with PFLAG, and we are talking about lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual individuals. How societal norms have changed, I think, is probably something we're going to touch on when we come back. I'm Dave Glover. Stick around.
Prodnose and the Egg Lady, Big Bertha the Boa Constrictor, the Jerry Aquabells, the SS Safe Sex, the Donut Shop Don Juan, not to mention JB and me. Then tune in to me, Pat Bryan, and my Tales from Faith Harbor every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Tune in Mondays 10 to 11 p.m. for Guitar Gear and More, brought to you by the Long and McQuaid Musical Instruments. the show that reviews guitar gear and more and then showcases the bands who made it happen. You'll hear interviews with local talent and a special Longa McQuaid segment that keeps you in the loop of upcoming music trends and events, plus expert tips from our Longa McQuaid experienced instructors. Guitar Gear and More, Mondays 10 to 11 p.m.
Beat the rush. Get ready for the hot summer. Install a new air conditioner from Pritchard's Climate Care, starting as low as $2,900. Rebates available on qualifying equipment. At Pritchard's Climate Care, we care about your comfort because we're your neighbors. Give us a call at 905-885-8216. That's 905-885-8216. Free estimates are available. Offer expires June 30th.
How is Northumberland 89.7 truly local radio? We reflect the diverse interests of this area with unique and varied programs hosted by people who live in our community. Check out our complete programming schedule at Northumberland89.7.ca.
Okay.
And welcome back to the Drive Time here on Northumberland 89.7. My guests are Tim Flindle and Ashley Bowman of the Port Hope and Cobourg chapter of PFLAG. And we are talking about lesbian and gay issues, bisexuality as well. Now, this group meets every on the first Thursday, almost at every Thursday, but on the first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at the Trinity United Church, which is located at 284 Division Street, PFLAG Cobourg Port Hope Chapter. It's LGBT-identified people, parents, families, friends, and allies united to advance equality and acceptance. And the government appears to be on your side, too, which is good to note.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave. I was just wondering, we were talking about parents just before we went to the break, and I'd like to know, how many parents come out to your meetings?
Right now, there's a couple of parents that come out. It's more of the youth, I find, that are needing the PFLAG around Cobourg. When we first decided to set it up, it was another person that was friends with my mother, and me and my sister that was having issues with me at the beginning kind of took it over as our baby and flourished it from that. And it was really hard at first, but definitely sticking to it. The youth was more of the thing that we connected with. And mm-hmm. after that, we started to get a couple of parents out, not even per se parents that were dealing with it, but parents that had already dealt with it that just wanted to come out and show their support and show other parents that were having issues that, like, hey, I'm here, I've gone through it with a brother, a sister, a child, mm-hmm. and I'm a survivor of it, and that you can come out of this in a different light and still be happy.
Mm-hmm.
How many members do you have?
It varies. Mm-hmm. I've found, like, in the last little while, our meetings haven't been that well attended. We get a lot of allies as well who, might not having it affect their life directly, but mm-hmm. they are supportive of the movement or have had been involved with people who are queer and queer identified.
Mm-hmm.
So I do, but, like, going with Tim says, it is a lot of youth that come out, which makes me think that we have to do more in helping the youth of the area.
So maybe just some basics. LGBTQ, could you explain each one and what – could you give us some definitions just so people can better understand? Because it sounds a bit complex, but maybe it's simple in the long run.
It's definitely a big list nowadays.
I actually have a poster that I made. So it says, do you know what LGBTQIP2SAA means?
No.
And so the letters stand for lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, questioning, intersexed, pansexual, two-spirited, asexual, and allies.
Okay. Can you help us? Some of those sound familiar,
but the only group that's not represented here are heterosexuals. Sounds like everybody else is in there.
Allies.
Oh, we're allies. Okay. Yeah. I
we have a new name, Dave.
We're allies. Good.
So maybe you could just explain some of these terms and what they mean.
Okay. So lesbian and gay is good. Bisexual is that you like both sexes. Trans is you know, you feel that you are the opposite sex that you were born with.
Mm-hmm.
Queer is just an identifier, usually, for all of these terms. Questioning is if you're not sure or you're kind of experimenting with your sexuality to see where you fit in. If you want to fit in the spectrum, like, there's nothing to say that you have to. Intersexed is a a term for those who might have both genitalia.
Right.
And pansexual means that you like everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender representation.
Does that mean you like them sexually or just like them, period?
Like them more so sexually.
Okay.
So you might, like, you like trans men, you like trans women, you like people who don't ascribe to any gender.
Mm-hmm.
Two-spirited is a term that's used in indigenous cultures to mm-hmm. represent their sexuality or transgenderedness.
Okay.
Asexual are people that don't have any attraction mm-hmm. to anybody, and allies are just those who are supportive of the LGBT.
Right.
Now, I understand that some of these different descriptions, the definitions sometimes cause a bit of discussion or a bit
Definitely.
Of controversy.
Yeah. Yep.
And I understand one of those is bisexuality.
Yes.
Could you maybe explain what the issues are and what the debate centers around?
Yeah. So as I stated earlier, when I first was feeling the waters, I came out as bisexual. And I think in the queer community, per se, it's not so much nowadays. It's still rampant. But there was a time, especially when I first came out, that there was a lot of issues with bisexuality and a lot of people, even in the gay community, saying that it was just people that hadn't made a choice yet. And definitely, as I've experienced life so far, there's definitely bisexuality out there. There's definitely a lot of people. One of my very good friends from high school here in Coburg, he's actually bisexual, and he's with a girl nowadays. So it's definitely something that I do know exists. But definitely with the gay community, there is quite a few controversies with a lot of them. Just even us as a community having issues understanding each other, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so again, this is all about putting people in a specific category, though. And I think what I was trying to get at earlier when I was talking about sexuality, the fact that we don't discuss heterosexuality, for instance, in public, is the fact that right now I think we're really caught up with labeling people.
Yes,
yes.
That's true.
You know, and I think part of the resolution, if you will, to making this a non-issue is perhaps not worrying about whether you're self-identified in one of these groups or not. Maybe if you just, I mean, if you can accept who you are, then I guess the goal is for you to love yourself and hopefully other people will accept you for who you are.
Yeah. And definitely. I think eventually it'll probably get to that where it's not even discussed, because we'll get to a point at some time in the human existence where sexuality won't even be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone will just be, and that will be fine.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
We're still far away. Like, we're mm-hmm. only now getting trans rights recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's still a really important issue. Not that gay and lesbian issues are not still important, but trans people definitely have a majority.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
they're still very discriminated against. There's a lot of violence against trans people. They have a very high attempted suicide rate. It's at about 78%.
Really? That high?
Yeah.
When you see stories like we do in the United States around the washroom issue in several states and the laws, do you find that sort of thing echoes up here in Canada and becomes part of the discussions that you have when you meet?
Definitely. I would say for sure. It definitely causes discussion here in Canada. I live in Peterborough now, so it's a very different community up there. There's a lot more acceptance in Peterborough because mm-hmm. PFLAG and other organizations have been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I frequently see a lot more gender-neutral bathrooms in Peterborough, which even when I first started working there, I managed a small restaurant, and I had added a gender-neutral bathroom into our establishment. So it's definitely something that I think a lot of the places in Canada adapted to quickly without discussion,
mm-hmm.
whereas I think probably places in the States had gender-neutral bathrooms, but as soon as it came to light to people, it was more of the fact of, oh my goodness, they're going to be in there with me. But half of the time, you don't even know that person is that person. Like,
uh-huh.
you don't
well, yeah.
sit with them next to them while they're going to the bathroom. So, like, how is that going to bother you at all?
Well, yeah, it's not like you have to wear an arm badge or anything like that. And I would argue that we've had gender-neutral bathrooms in North America forever. I mean, have you ever been to a gas station washroom?
Yeah, exactly.
They're pretty gender-neutral.
Yeah.
A porta-potty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so the idea that you have to specifically... I mean, this is the problem for me, the fact that they've had to go out of their way to specify that this is an issue. I mean, I don't think they have never once come up with any piece of anecdotal evidence to show that there's a reason why we need to have, you know, gender neutral bathrooms.
Exactly.
You know, this idea that I don't want some guy going into the washroom with my little girl. I mean, there's never been any reports of this. This is not an issue. And as you say, when people go to the washroom, they're really more focused on getting their business done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then whether,
the most,
you know,
important.
There's so much anxiety about public bathrooms that, like, people don't want to be in there in the first place.
So, yeah.
So when we live in our communities, what you were mentioning Peterborough being a pretty open and accepting place. I'm wondering how, I'd like each of you to answer this. How do you find West Northumberland? Cobourg, Port Hope, Bewdley, Baltimore, Grafton. How accepting are we in this community, and what has been your experience?
Do you want to take it away first, Ashley?
I find this place to be okay. I do find it to be homophobic and transphobic to a certain extent. It's pretty accepting on that, like, a general level where, you know, there's not a lot of hate crimes going on, but I'm sure there are some hate crimes going on.
Can you give me an example or an experience that you know of?
When I was in high school at the East in the late 90s, early 2000s, I had a friend that came out. And that wasn't that common back then to actually come out while you're in high school. A lot of people, students, didn't have an issue with it, but there was also a lot that did. So they suffered a lot of bullying, violence, and it was really tough. But he set, or they set a precedence for everybody else, and it got people talking. And I remember around that same time, the boy's name was Mark. I can't remember his last name, unfortunately, but he wanted to bring his boyfriend to the prom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Catholic high school, and they basically said, like, no, you're not allowed to do that. I think there was a petition. I think he ended up doing it. Mm-hmm. But it's just that was, I think the discussion at that point started about youth and sexuality. And it's, I can't speak to if it's better. Like, PFLAG held a mental health circle at the Raise Your Voice conference that was took place at CCI in April. Mm-hmm. And there it was well attended, both sessions, but a lot of youth did really struggle with their sexuality. And that's what prompts me to want to help the youth in the area, to look to ways where they feel that they are being supported.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, it's funny you say that, because even the education system, even the educators, you know, they try to say, oh, no, we're open and accepting. But when my son was in high school, and he was in high school around the same time as you, he went to the West, and he wanted to take fashion design because he wanted to be a fashion buyer.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, no, you can't take that course. And they were, and the reason they wouldn't let him take the course, they didn't actually come right out and say on a piece of paper that he couldn't take the course, but they basically said because he wasn't gay, they weren't going to let him take the course.
That
happened. Like, that's a true story.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, well, and my wife was like, what are you talking about? What's that got to do with anything? Oh, well, you know, and we're like, no, we don't know. Like, could you maybe explain that a little better? But they couldn't, of course, because, again, that was a prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that's still pervasive. I mean, this was only a few years ago.
Tim, how about you?
With growing up here The community has definitely come a long way, even within the past couple of years of being with PFLAG. The first parade that we were ever in on Canada's Day, a lot of people didn't know what we were about. And then as they kind of discovered what we were about, there was a lot of different, reactions from the crowd, whispers amongst some. There was a couple of areas that we went through where you could hear people whispering back and forth saying a few nasty comments. But definitely even last year when we were in the Canadian flag or Canada parade, just the amount of people, like for the one section, everybody stood for us and clapped. And just seeing that in a community, it's it's the progression. It's the small things. Like when we started the group, we were so little and so overwhelmed with the amount of the project that we had taken on. But even just having our name here and having our presence within the town, there's been a lot more talk about it, I think. And as time goes on, I'm definitely starting to realize that as people get to know people from the queer community, they're understanding that our labels aren't the things that define us. For instance, with moving to Peterborough, I've become friends with a family, and we were with their family the other day, and one of her, our friend's sisters said, you know, like, when I first met you, I always thought about the fact that you two were a gay couple, me and my partner. And she goes, but nowadays, every time you're around us, I always find myself forgetting. And then I'll see you guys, like, hold hands or something. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I think that's the way that it's becoming is, mm-hmm. as people start to have to deal with it in their normal lives, they're realizing that we've always been here. We're always here. Mm-hmm. And we're not on some mission to make you feel uncomfortable in public. We want to exist with you.
Well, no, you make a really good point because, you know, as we were saying before we went to air, you know, during time in memoriam prior to the 1980s and through the 1990s, being gay or lesbian or bisexual or whatever was something that was never discussed. You could never openly discuss it. I mean, for the longest time, you'd be arrested. Mm-hmm. So, and I think part of the reasons why we've come so far. I mean, I remember the first year you guys were in the parade. There was like 8 people marching with you, and I think last year you had, it must have been more than 15 or so people marching with you. I mean, you've doubled in size. And it's not that the community, not all of a sudden we've got twice as many gay people. We just have more people who are willing to be open and freer. And, and we now live in a society where that's kind of cool and accepted. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, the more we talk about this, the more we realize that it's not an issue. Someone's sexuality should not impact you. Like the fact that you're gay or lesbian or transgender, it doesn't affect my life. It doesn't affect my world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's the message we need to get out there. What do you think of that one, Rob?
I couldn't agree more, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm really interested in is what do both of you think when you think about Pride Month? What does that mean to you?
To me, it means like our society, a Canadian society, is becoming more accepting. I do feel that Canada is different in the United States in that regard. I just feel Canada is more accepting anyway. And it's just happy to know, like, and everyone can participate in Pride Month events. And if you've ever gone to the Pride Parade in Toronto, mm-hmm. there's thousands of people there.
Oh, yeah.
There's kids running around. You know, it's for everybody, and it's such a, I mean, it's hot because you're in the sun for like 3 hours, but it's
so it
a
sounds
great
like
thing.
You've been.
Yes, I have been.
How many times?
More so when I lived in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So now I usually work when it's happening, but like I've gone several times, and it's always been really fun, and all the floats. Like I remember seeing Justin Trudeau well before he was Prime Minister, Jack Layton, Rick Mercer, all those people, all the different organizations. There's churches. Even the Cobourg Police Department, I think, was in the parade. Yeah. Was it for World Pride, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's great. We actually have a lot of support with the Cobourg Police Department. They support PFLAG like 100%. They raised a rainbow flag in front of their station on Friday, which was great, in support of Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful to see, like, though I'd sometimes find the area, it can be problematic, but I see progress, and that makes me really happy. And it's just more recognition, and PFLAG really helps with that, letting people know that there is an organization here that supports that.
How do you feel about the Prime Minister? It's going to be the first Prime Minister ever to march in a Pride parade in Toronto.
Yeah, I think that is so awesome. But Justin Trudeau has always been very supportive of LGBTQ rights.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take our next break. When we come back, more of our conversation with PFLAG representatives Tim Flindle and Ashley Bowman, my guests in the studio this afternoon with Rob Washburn. You're listening to The Drive Time. This is Canada's only holistic political chat.
Sunday morning brunch promo, take one. Cue the music. What? No music? Cutbacks? Oh, well. Hey, it's me, Glenn McLaren, with a great show, 7 to 10 Sunday mornings. Called the Sunday Morning Brunch. Maybe you've heard about it. It's got lots of great music, great features, and a mini concert too. So why not spend part of your weekend with me, Glenn McLaren, on the Sunday Morning Brunch, heard on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Northumberland Security has provided security solutions for over 38 years. From transponder car keys, alarm systems, surveillance systems, and handicapped door operators, they cover Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Northumberland Security prides itself on providing a comprehensive selection of personal and property protection at affordable prices with fast, courteous, and reliable 24-hour service. Located at 22 King Street West, Coburg. Call 905-372-8951 or visit northumberlandsecurity.com, the professional security team.
What is it that matters to you? Is it catching up with loved ones across the country? Family night streaming a movie over popcorn? Or Googling the globe for facts? Or just plain fun? Connect to what matters, wherever you live, with ExploreNet's reliable high-speed internet. ExploreNet. Reliable. Rural. High-speed.
Available from United TV and Stereo, Division Street in Coburg.
Have any questions or concerns? Email us at info@northumberland897.ca or call us at 905-372-2391.
And welcome back to the broadcast. You're listening to Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. My guests in studio, Tim Flindle and Ashley Bowman of PFLAG Coburg Port Hope Chapter. And that is the LGBT Identified People, Parents, Family, Friends, and Allies, united to advance equality and acceptance for lesbian, gay, and transgender individuals. Rob?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what Tim has to say about what Pride Month means to him.
Definitely. So I my first Pride was when I was 19, and it opened my world to an entire world that I had never, ever stepped into before. Definitely growing up in Coburg and then getting to experience the gay community. I've definitely progressed in the way that I look at Pride, but Pride Month for me is definitely being proud of who you are, regardless of what that is, being able to stand up and say, I am who I am, and this is why I'm here, and this is why I have a reason to be here. And that's mainly the way that I think of Pride Month, is just being proud of who you are, regardless of it is, and realizing that we're all human beings, and we can just celebrate being human and being alive and being together.
Well, that's a great answer. I have to ask you this question because, of course, this is something that probably doesn't come up often enough. But we've seen a real sort of growth in acceptance for lesbian, gay, queer issues, if you will.
Definitely.
Since the AIDS crisis in the 1980s. Can we talk a little bit about, do you have an opinion on what kind of catalyst that has been in terms of getting society to understand how this really isn't an aberration?
Mm-hmm. So with AIDS, growing up, it was always one of those things that I had never really educated myself on. And then once I became a part of the community, of course, you start to meet people that actually suffer from that. And just the whole epidemic and the ignorance, per se, around the entire thing, just educating, realizing that it's not just within our community that it's rampant. It's everywhere in the world, regardless of who you are. You do have to watch out for that. And it's definitely been something that the community has had to overcome, trying to get that stigma away from us, stating that, like, you know.
Has that been a catalyst, you think, for societal change, though? Because I think for a lot of people, that's sort of what started them on the conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
About sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were always told, oh, well, you know, it's a gay disease. And then they find out, no, it isn't, actually. But it's, you know, I mean, you've heard all kinds of things, I'm sure. But, I mean, from my perspective, and I knew a gentleman in 1982, who, when I first met him, told me he was dying of cancer. He ended up dying of HIV. Great friend of mine, really good guy. But because it was that time frame, he didn't even feel comfortable talking to his friends about the fact that he was dying from this. And now here we are, flash forward 30 years, and this is a conversation people can have. Do you think that has helped, if you will, normalize homosexuality in our society?
Definitely. Being able to speak about it is always a good thing. I find when we don't talk about things and have an open discussion about things, that's when people start to make up things around the subject, per se, because they're trying to make sense of it. And it's always hard to make sense of something that you're not going through yourself. And having people open up about their experiences with the disease and just being able to come forward and talk on a normal level, it's where people start to realize that they're staring at somebody that they can see themselves in and understand that it's something that they can have empathy for and realizing that it's something that they might have had some wrong thoughts about mm-hmm. in the past. So it's definitely been a catalyst for moving forward.
Well, we're going to take our last break of the hour. I know it seems like a moment ago we took a break, but we'll be taking our last break of the hour. We'll be right back after this minute, and we'll be wrapping this baby up. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
I'm Chef Michelle.
I'm Chef Michael.
You don't have to be a chef to savor the flavors of Chef's Corner.
Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 to see who we've cooked up for our special guests, and don't forget our skill tasting giveaway.
Join Chef's Corner to tap into the upcoming culinary season and stir the gourmet in you. It's all about food, eating in season, and keeping it local. Chef's Corner, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m.
Chef's Corner is proudly sponsored by The Cultured Kitchen in downtown Coburg, here on Northumberland 89.7.
Truly local radio.
Entering Stonewood Gallery is like visiting old and dear friends, but friends with impeccable taste. Dan and Kim Daigle feature the work of local and Canadian artisans, from custom furniture to antiques, wood turnings, jewelry, fine art, photography and giftware. It's all at Stonewood Gallery, just north of the 401 at 3311 Burnham Street North. Wednesday through Saturday, 10:30 to 5. Come in and be delighted.
Look out for the 89.7 booth at local events. For upcoming events, check out our website at northumberland89.7.ca.
And welcome back to The Drive Time. I'm Dave Glover. My guests in the studio are Tim Flindle and Ashley Bowman. They are of PFLAG Coburg Port Hope. Now, I understand you guys are putting together a group now, or you're on a committee, Ashley, to have a Coburg Port Hope contingent in next year's Pride Parade. Is that correct?
Yes, actually. So we've formed a committee. It's comprised of myself, a few members of the Coburg DBIA. There will be a representative from the Coburg Police Force on that committee, as well as a town council member. And we are planning to have a Coburg Pride Parade for June 2017. Okay. So I feel this is great steps towards acceptance within the community. And, I mean, it's something that everyone can participate in and have fun in, because that's what Pride's supposed to be, just having fun and all that types of things.
So it sounds like you guys are well on track. And is this just a Coburg contingent, or are you including Port Hope in this contingent as well?
So far right now, it's just Coburg. I'm hoping eventually that Port Hope could get on the ball as well, because it'd be great to see a Pride Parade in Port Hope. They are very LGBTQ friendly. Mm-hmm. They were voted, I think, number 8 in an LGBTQ travel advisory guide. Mm-hmm. So it's really good for them. They're definitely a very accepting community. I believe that also last year, I'm not sure about this year, but last year for sure, they flew a rainbow flag outside their town hall.
Nice. Okay, well, there you go. And let's actually, don't just give you a quick update on what the rainbow flag represents, folks. The rainbow flag was designed by San Francisco artist Gilbert Baker in 1978 and has gone through many transformations since, mainly due to what fabric was available at the time. There are many different LGBTQ plus flags that represent different sexualities and or gender identities. For example, bisexual pride flag, transgender pride flag day, pansexual pride flag day, and asexual pride flag day. The rainbow flag is flown horizontally with the rainbow at the top, as it would look as though it were naturally occurring rainbow. So there you go. That's the story on the flag itself. Rob?
Your relationship with the town police. You mentioned earlier on Friday you raised the flag. Can you tell us a bit more about that ceremony and what took place?
That was something that was brought to my attention on Friday morning. So it was something that the Coburg Police Services did in support of Pride Month. And they did also touch on the fact that there was a rainbow flag raised at Parliament Hill, and the mm-hmm. rainbow flag and transgendered flag that was raised at Toronto City Hall. So they were showing their support in that of what as well. Sorry. And the fact that I was invited to be there as a representative of PFLAG was great. And that kind of started our discussion, too, about our Pride Parade that we wish to have next year. So it's just really great to have that type of support in the community. And then people walking by will see that. And like, it's just so awesome. I was just so happy to be a part of that.
I know council often passes acknowledgments of special days and special celebrations. Have they done anything at all to acknowledge this is Pride Month?
Not to me directly. I'm not sure if they will be doing anything in regards to that. If they do, I hope they do get in contact with PFLAG just so we can be aware and promote that on our various social media. But I was going to look into hopefully flying a PFLAG at Victoria Hall. I still have to get in contact with somebody there. But during Pride Week, which is closer to the end of June.
Mm-hmm. When is the Pride Week? Just so that we've got the dates correct. I know it's Pride Month, but when is the actual Pride Week?
Is this the first time it's been Pride Month?
Yeah, Pride Toronto has declared this June Pride Month. I can't think of the dates off the top of my head, but I know it's actually 10 days. And I think it ends just before the Pride Parade, which I do know is July 3rd in Toronto.
Right.
So
it is a month-long, if you will, celebration of sexuality. And really, as they said at the outset here, I mean, this is for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, this is lesbian, gay, bi, transgender identified people, parents, family, friends, allies, people that are sexually ambiguous. You know, a lot of people really don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of people realize in their teens, you know, which way the wind blows. And some people don't realize until they're in adult relationships. It depends on where you live, I guess, in a lot of cases. But I think hopefully we as a nation anyway have gone a long, long way in diminishing the stigma that is homosexuality and being gay. By the way, Pride Toronto has declared June the month, and it's the first ever Pride Month. Pride Toronto will have special events planned throughout the month of June, from June 1st to the 30th, so you can check your local LGBTQ plus organization to see what events and programs are being planned, or go to www.pridetoronto.com. You can also go to www.pflagcanada.com, all one word. My guests have been Tim Flindle and Ashley Bowman. Thank you both for coming in this afternoon and talking about this issue. Again, we love to talk about issue of social import. Rob, thank you very much for being here today as well, as
Thanks,
always.
Dave.
And taking us out, those memories of high school are clear. Here is High School Confidential. Thanks again, you guys.
Like that song.
Thank you.
She's a cool blonde. She make my body twitch. Walking down.